We're going to back up just a little bit and turn our attention to probably the most famous conversion in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, and that's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He was early on in the history of the church probably the chief persecutor. In fact, he called himself that. We see that taking place in Acts chapter 8, in verses 1 and 3, and again in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Later on, he becomes known as the Apostle Paul, Acts 13 and verse 9, and he tells us that he suffered a great deal of persecution for the cause of Christ. We find a list of things that he gives us in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. And yet his conversion stands as a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are actually three accounts of his conversion in the book of Acts. The first one is described by Luke as it happened in chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And then Paul gives the second account of his conversion before a large crowd in Acts 22, verses 6 through 16. And then in chapter 26, verses 12 through 18, Paul defends himself before Agrippa by recounting his own conversion. Now, from the conversion of Saul, we find not only a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, but more evidence about the nature of conversions that are revealed throughout the book of Acts. For example, the question always comes up about when Saul was saved. Was he saved on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him? Was it in Damascus at some point after he arrived there? And then how was he saved? Was it through saying a sinner's prayer? Or was it by being baptized? Now, such questions as this can be answered by a careful study of biblical evidence. So let's begin with a review of the evidence provided by all three accounts of Saul's conversion. First of all, there is harmony in these accounts of his conversion. The account takes place as he's on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. We see that in Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. Again in 22, verses 4 and 5, and 26, verses 9 through 11. And then, as he was on the road to Damascus, verse 3 of Acts 9 tells us that a bright light shone about him from heaven. Recounted in chapter 22 and chapter 26 as well. And in this light, from this light, a voice speaks to him in Hebrew. The voice identifies itself as the voice of Jesus, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus then tells Saul why he has appeared to him. He says in chapter 26, verses 16 through 18, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now we see why Jesus appeared to him. But it's interesting, he was told to go on to Damascus. Now, people would say that Saul was saved right then when Christ appeared to him. But we need to look at the text. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, he was told to go on to Damascus where he would be told what he must do. In chapter 22 and verse 10, he said he would be told all things which are appointed for you to do. So we see then that Saul arrives in Damascus. He's led by hand because the light has blinded him, chapter 9 and verse 8, and 22 and verse 11. So for 3 days while he's in Damascus, according to verse 9 of chapter 9, he neither eats nor drinks. And in this process, the Lord sends a man by the name of Ananias to Saul. The Lord appears to him in a vision and tells him to go to Saul. We see in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16, that there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias arises and goes to Saul. And in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 9, we see that his sight is restored by Ananias. Then he tells him why the Lord appeared to him and how he will be a witness of what he has seen. Paul tells this in chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. And then Paul, in his own words in chapter 22 and verse 16, said that Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, if what we have seen so far is true, and I believe it is since it's the Word of God, this is when Paul or Saul was saved. So how can some of our religious neighbors say that he was saved on the road to Damascus when he wasn't told what to do yet to have salvation? But anyway, after which Paul breaks his fast and spends some days with the disciples there in Damascus, according to chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. The conversion of Saul is a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What other reasonable explanation can be given for the drastic change in a man known as the chief persecutor to become the chief proclaimer of the Christian faith? And yet Saul's conversion is also valuable for insights regarding the process of conversion. And that's what we want to look at now. When Saul was saved, some, as I said earlier, state that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him, that his conversion took place at that very moment. Saul was not saved until he arrived in Damascus. We note that while he was on the road, the Lord said he would be in Damascus, that it would be in Damascus where he would be told what you must do. Chapter 9 and verse 6. And then in Damascus, Ananias told him to wash away your sins. Chapter 22 and verse 16. Now up to that point, Saul was still in his sins. In other words, he was not saved. Now, while in one sense he was converted on the road, his view of Jesus had certainly changed. His conversion in the sense of salvation did not occur until after he arrived in Damascus. Now, how was Saul saved? From Ananias' statement in chapter 22 and verse 16, to wash away his sins, we learn that Saul had not been saved by the vision on the road to Damascus. Saul had not yet been saved by prayers and fasting for 3 days, chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. From chapter 22's account in verse 16, we see that Saul was saved when his sins were washed away. And that occurred after spending 3 days in Damascus, praying and fasting. And that occurred when he was baptized to wash away his sins. And this concurs with what Peter said about the purpose of baptism all the way back in chapter 2 and verse 38 in that great sermon. Now, we see a third thing here as we observe Saul's conversion. Baptism and calling upon the name of the Lord. After quoting Joel, who wrote of calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, Peter told the crowd at Pentecost to be baptized. Acts 2, verses 21 and 38. Ananias commanded Saul to be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Paul's account in chapter 22 and verse 16. And Peter wrote, Baptism saves us as an appeal to God for a good conscience. In the English Standard Version, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 reads, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It's an act of baptism. And in that act of baptism, we have faith. And in faith, we are calling upon the name of the Lord, appealing to God by the authority of His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins. Now, while we certainly can pray as we are being baptized or before we're baptized, baptism itself is a prayer or an appeal to God for a good conscience. So from the conversion of Saul, we learn that one is not saved by visions of the Lord. Now, who could have had a vision more impressive than the one that Saul did on the road to Damascus? We learn that one is not saved by saying a prayer, a sinner's prayer, if you will. Saul had been praying and fasting for 3 days and was not saved. And in keeping with what is taught in other places, one is saved when they are baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And they are baptized to have their sins washed away, as Paul was told in chapter 22 and verse 16. They are baptized, then, as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Remember, that's what the English Standard Version, that's how it reads in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Later on, Paul would write in Romans chapter 6 that baptism is effective because in baptism we are baptized or buried with Christ, into Christ's death. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. And we are united with Christ in the likeness of His death through baptism, Romans 6 and verse 5. And we are crucified with Christ, and our body of sin is done away with by being immersed into the watery grave, Romans 6 and verse 6. We die to sin and are therefore freed from our sin, Romans 6 and verse 7. And such baptism is conditioned upon our faith and God's working. Acts chapter 8, verses 37 through 36 and 37, as we saw with the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul would later on write in Colossians 2 and verse 12, "Baptism with him, buried with him, rather, in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Martin Luther wrote in his commentary on Romans 6 and verse 3, "Baptism has been instituted that it should lead us to the blessings of this death, and through such death to eternal life. Therefore, it is necessary that we should be baptized into Jesus Christ and His death." That's his commentary on Romans on page 101. "And so we say, as did Ananias, to anyone who is yet to be baptized for the remission of sins, 'And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.'" Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Were you saved through baptism? Were you baptized for the remission of your sins, or were you baptized to show that you were now a member of such and such congregation or church? You may disagree with this lesson, and I fully expect that some do. And I'd be willing to sit down and discuss this lesson and others with you, but bring your Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse where I'm wrong. I don't want to preach error. I only want to teach the truth. I want to thank you for joining me this morning.